Welcome to Real Romance, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the final Real Romance episode of 2020. It's been a really long road, been a lot of things happening in this hell year. We did it. We're finally at the end.
Sorry, it's a week late.
We're still a week early, if you think about it. At the time of recording, next week is Christmas, the week after is New Year's, and it's over. Because this is a little later than it normally is, we're going to have this episode of Real Romance absolutely action-packed with all the movies that we watched in the past month and a half or so.
So we pushed back last week's episode because we had colds.
Cold, flu, something.
We didn't feel very good, and we just weren't up to recording, and we knew it wasn't going to be good. And so we were like, well, we'll just push it back, and we'll record later this week, and we'll get it out the next week. A couple days ago.
Yeah.
Robert stopped being able to smell.
And I tried everything. I tried smelling the good things, like lotions and candles and perfumes. And I tried the bad things, like dog food and puppy pads.
And dirty mouse cages.
And I couldn't smell anything. I said, this is a dead giveaway. This morning it was confirmed that I did get COVID-19, which means Brittany inevitably will get COVID-19.
I'm pretty sure I already have it.
Yeah.
I developed a pretty nasty cough last night.
But you don't smell already, so.
No, I already have a limited sense of smell. For me to be like, oh, I can't smell anymore, like, that's a pretty normal. I had a lot of sinus issues when I was a baby, so I can't really smell now anyway.
And you're with me, and so we know you have no taste either. Nothing. Not a single thing you have to say on that.
No.
Love you too. So this episode of Real Romance is going to cover like 8 or 9 movies. Like we've just been watching as many things as possible. We did go to the movies a few times prior to me getting COVID.
Yeah, we haven't been to the movies in over a week. So.
Right. It's been a little while. And because of my diagnosis, it will be at least a couple of weeks before I go back to the movies. But fingers crossed.
We're hoping to be clear by Wonder Woman.
Right, because Wonder Woman is like a big theater event that we genuinely want to support in the cinema,
and
not just at home.
Obviously, we won't go until we get negative tests.
Right, I mean, you gotta be safe, gotta be smart, and most importantly, you have to be courteous of other people. I mean, until then, we're going to be catching up on a lot of shows, doing a lot of things at home, really.
So our
getting first, the year together.
Our first streaming episode when we come back will be pretty full.
Or we might have a little mini episode between now and the official beginning of 2021 season. Because
a bonus episode.
Right, because you know, the first episodes of 2021 in season 3 are going to be the awards season shows where we go over all the stuff we watched in 2020, the good, the bad, and the ugly, kind of like we did last year. So that will give us even more time to watch things, catch up on things, binge maybe a show or two.
Stuff like that.
So for this episode, you want to start at the beginning and work forward, or just kind of do it at random?
We're just going to pick randomly. So we watched a Netflix movie. It came out a few months ago. It was called Enola Holmes, and it starred Millie Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm. Henry Cavill.
And that other guy.
The one that's known by stuff.
He was in Hunger Games.
Finnick from Hunger Games.
Yeah, but what's
Catching
his name?
Fire. Dude from Hunger Games. Catching Fire.
Sam Claflin.
See, that's what I just said.
It also starred a newcomer named Louis Partridge.
He was the young man, right?
Right.
Okay. So, the story of Enola Holmes. So, Millie Bobby Brown plays the sister of Sherlock and Mycroft Holmes. And she's being raised by her mother out in the countryside in kind of a family mansion. And instead of the whole, you know, being a proper woman, wearing your corset, and being ladylike, she's getting taught things like archery and deductive skills and... What?
It smells weird. What did you put on? Your deodorant stinks.
I literally didn't put on anything. And even if I could, I can't smell it.
It's not me.
Are you sure? Because I can't check.
I'm positive.
No, I'm positive.
It smells like baby powder. Do you smell? Oh, I forgot you can't
smell. I don't smell shit, babe. I can't.
I gotta spray something because all I can smell is fucking baby powder. It stinks. It's like a stinky baby powder.
You know, there's Febreze right here.
I can't spray myself with Febreze.
I don't want you to spray it over my food either. Are you done?
Yeah. God, I couldn't concentrate. You were talking and all I could think was, ugh, what is that weird baby powder? It was very strong.
Sorry. I promise it wasn't me. So she's being taught practical skills by her mother and not things that are, you know, proper for the time period.
For ladies.
And her mother ends up going missing. And so Sherlock and Mycroft end up coming home, and because she's been abandoned and their father is gone, Mycroft ends up trying to send Enola to a boarding school for women. But she wants no part in it, so she ends up breaking out and trying to solve her mother's disappearance on her own. And in doing so, she also gets caught up in the attempted murder of a son of a politician,
he's
right?
Like a count or something.
Yeah. He was
a duke.
Yeah, apparently his dad died, and he was going to be taking over that spot in Parliament, and that key vote was enough to sway it one way or another. And so they're like, well, if we kill him, then no vote. So this movie goes into a lot of Sherlock Holmes type like action sequences, and
I mean, she basically spends the rest of the movie trying to either save him or
save herself,
yeah.
But she plays dress up a lot, so even though she's supposed to be dressing all prim and proper, she dresses up as boys a lot.
Because boys had better clothes back in the day.
And they get into places girls can't. I think it was very Sherlock Holmesy.
It was. And it had some like stylized like she's really into like anagrams and stuff, mm-hmm. and like backwards letters.
Right.
Which was a unique take on it.
Really into like cryptic messages.
Right. We don't want to give away too much of the mystery. It's really good. It's on Netflix. I think Henry Cavill does a great job being Sherlock, though you don't really see him much on screen.
And I like that. I like that they made it about Enola, even though she's a completely fictional character made up for this fictional movie.
I think that there will definitely be a sequel.
They kind of set it up for it, I think. And Millie Bobby Brown is a good enough actress, and she has a good enough relationship with Netflix to make that happen.
One of the next movies we watched, we went and saw Freaky in theaters.
Yes.
So the premise of Freaky is, I mean, basically it's Freaky Friday.
But with a serial killer.
Yes. It stars Catherine Newton and Vince Vaughn.
No. Catherine Newton was actually just announced to be playing Paul Rudd's daughter in Ant-Man 3, Quantumania. This was just announced, like, last week. I'm really excited. What do you think about that recast?
I mean, I know people are upset, but, like, you don't know why they recast. It could be the one girl just wanted to... I heard that she wanted to go on to college,
mm-hmm.
and so the filming schedule wouldn't fit with her classes, but I don't know if that's true.
What if it is? Bravo for choosing education.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, you can make money now and get seen, but...
Who knows? It doesn't really matter. She was on screen for, like, 2 minutes. And realistically, I would love to have the original actress play his daughter, but she's just not going to be old enough because I hear they're doing another time jump. So, it is what it is.
Let's do the time warp again.
I mean, Catherine Newton is pretty talented, so...
Yeah.
We shall see how she does. I think she'll do a great job.
I think so, too.
People are like, well, her hair's brown, and I'm like, hair dye is a thing.
It's like, have you seen Black Widow? She's dyeing her hair all the fucking time.
Spoiler alert. Emma Stone doesn't have red hair, y'all, but she does in a lot of movies.
Right, because she dyed her hair red for the one role, and they're like, ugh, she's a token redhead.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, there's a lot of actresses that dye their hair for roles. It's not that uncommon.
Anywho, in Freaky, Vince Vaughn is like this crazy, disgusting serial killer going around killing kids.
I don't know how disgusting
Did you see his lair?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty gross.
It had, like, corpses and rotting things and broken glass. It was just not exactly, you know, the happy housekeeper. But he goes around and murders teenage kids every once in a while, and there's all sorts of stories about him, right? Kind of like an urban legend.
You know, we didn't give the first movie any popcorn buckets. We'll give them both at the end of this.
Okay. So, Millie, she's the mascot for the team. I think they're, like, the Beavers or something weird like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up getting stabbed with this ancient knife that the murderer, Vince Vaughn, got on his last kill.
Yeah, he stole it from this mansion.
He's like, ooh, this is a really antique knife. And so he goes and tries to kill her with it, but it starts a curse under the full moon, and they end up switching bodies, and they have 24 hours, like in all the Freaky Friday type movies,
To switch back
or else it's permanent.
I gotta say, there's some excellent deaths in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Like, there's a cryo chamber death. Which, what school has a cryo chamber? This school was rich as hell. Not only did they have a cryo chamber for their sports team, but they had the fanciest wood shop I've ever seen. I took wood shop in high school, and mine did not look anything like that.
And the teacher of wood shop is actually the guy who played Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
And he's a dick.
He really is in this movie.
I don't think I got to use any saw-like stuff like that. We had, like, very limited access to tools.
And like they have a big giant table saw.
Right.
It's like, you would die.
This school is very rich.
And, ironically, people do die in the woodshop.
I do have to say, when we went and saw this movie, now this was the most packed movie of any we've seen. And I mean, there were still probably only like 30 people.
Yeah, maybe.
This family brought their three children, only one of which was age appropriate.
I think there were like more than that.
Were there?
I think there were like four or five kids.
I know that there were at least two children that had to be six or under.
Agree.
Because they were running around. The kids were like freaking out. And then literally they start using foul language and the dad's like, oh, cover your ears. And I'm like,
It's rated R, you dumb motherfucker.
Bro, why did you bring your children? I understand that sometimes it's hard to get away and you want to go on a date night and you want to take the kids and stuff. But there were a lot of other movies playing.
Yeah.
That would have been more kid appropriate.
Not a whole lot of kid movies, but especially not freaky.
It was the harshest movie out at the time, I think.
Yeah. But Millie, she has two friends. And they, you know, obviously they have a really tight-knit group. They're in high school, and Millie has a crush on a boy. And so when the switch changes, Vince Vaughn is running around like, oh my god, I'm Millie, right? And, like, doing his whole thing, and he's, like, what, 6'4"? Like,
he's tall.
Even though we know he's a funny guy, like, he's intimidating. And if you saw him in a dark alley, regardless of context, you'd be like, oh shit, right? Like, big guy. And so he's obviously scaring the shit out of these kids, and finally when she's like, yeah, see, I'm the mascot, I'm your friend, I know the secret handshake, suddenly they are going out and about trying to stop her body from killing people.
Right. In great ways.
And her sister's also a cop.
Yes.
Right? And so there is one cop in the whole story who's really, like, kind of pivotal to the way the story goes, and it's female, and I think... Great job on Blumhouse for not making the cop an older brother.
Yeah, right? There was a lot of girls in this movie.
Yeah, the whole family is women, because there's the mom and then the two daughters, one of which is the killer and one of which is the cop.
The dad has passed away.
Yeah.
And I think the movie was fantastic. I really liked it. I would watch it again.
Oh, and again. Obviously it's not like Cabin in the Woods or anything, but I think there are some really, really strong points as far as murder and death, comedy, social commentary. I think, aside from being rated R, so you don't bring little kids to it like that family did.
I feel like it would be appropriate for... I mean, you have to judge based on your own kids. So I try not to judge too harshly, because we did see a child at Chucky, and he literally had a Chucky doll and seemed like he enjoyed the hell out of the movie. But, I mean, he was at least 11.
I wouldn't take anybody under the age of 10 to this movie, but if you're older than 10, you can probably handle the swear words and a little bit of gore. If you have video games or if you have a TV, you've seen stuff.
Yeah,
like this.
It wasn't particularly like jump scare type, like it wasn't that kind of scary movie, but it's definitely not appropriate for your 5-year-old. I just think that's a little early. I mean, my parents introduced me to horror early, and I mean, not that early though.
And I wasn't introduced to horror like at all. And I probably wouldn't have seen this movie until I was a teenager.
I mean, at 11, my parents definitely would have let me watch this movie. Oh, well, but
I watched Titanic when I was like 8 or 9.
I have major problems with parents who are okay letting your kids watch something like Titanic.
Boobies are more natural than murder.
Okay.
Just saying.
But like, I think they're equal. I think they're equal levels. And it just depends on your child. Like, if your child is mature enough to look at naked people and not be, like, weird about it, do you know what I mean?
Well, I felt kind of weird.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
You were probably too little.
I also feel a little weird watching murders, too, in a different way. Not the same way. Not the same way at all, okay? Very different weird.
I just think that, not that I think it's weird that kids should, like, think sex is super weird and strange or anything, but it is a little bit more of an adult topic, and they should understand that a 10-year-old should not have sex.
Mm-hmm. And there's actually a sex scene in Freaky, but they knowingly abstain from showing nudity. Is that correct?
Yeah, I liked the way they did it, because it felt real. Because a lot of times when they do sex scenes in movies, It's so like, oh, look how artsy it is, and there's, you see their backs, and it's so, no.
Right, no.
I hate that.
You remember a few episodes ago, we actually did a theme mini about feminism and horror?
Yeah, I thought this was a great one.
This would have been perfect for that.
It just wasn't out in time.
Yeah, but like, I was thinking about it, and the sex scene in question, like, she finishes, and he still wants to keep going, and she's like, nah.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm good. Fuck the patriarchy. And I'm like, see, that's the type of stuff that I would have liked to have seen in something like Black Christmas, right? This was a little bit more, like, palatable and funny to
for
me.
For a boy.
Right. I mean, totally relatable for me. But overall, freaky, top-notch horror flick, Blumhouse, still not missing.
All right, so let's rate the first two movies on popcorn buckets. Enola Holmes, what would you give it?
I'd give it a 3.
I would give it a 3.5. I thought it was really good. I liked it. I liked it better than I thought I was going to like it, so that's why I give it the extra half.
No, and you would think for liking the movie as much as we did, we really didn't talk about Enola Holmes very much, but we also don't want to give away too much.
See, that's the problem with Enola, is anything we really say is going to give away part of the story. You know what we didn't mention?
Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes, that's her mom. She's not in it very much, but it is notable that that's the mom.
Yeah, but overall, Enola Holmes is a really fun movie if you have the time, because I think it's a pretty long movie.
Yeah, it was decently long.
For, you know, being a somewhat quote-unquote kids-type Sherlock movie.
I found it was like a preteen, like kind of that was the audience they were reaching for.
But speaking of kid detectives, there was a movie about a kid detective that was in theaters for 1 week, and we ended up missing out because
we were sick that weekend or something.
Yeah, but it was in theaters, and we're like, oh, we'll go see it because, you know, there's not a lot of movies out, so obviously it'll be in theaters for 2 or 3 weeks. It was in theaters for 1 week, and it was gone.
And then they played At War with Grandpa or whatever for, like, 8 weeks.
And we don't give a fuck about War with Grandpa, okay?
No offense, it might be a perfectly fine movie, but, all right.
Kind of like that, the one about the brothers that's out.
Yeah.
It's like it looks alright, but it's
not our thing.
It's not worth going and risking the movie theater for.
So, what would you give Freaky? What would you give it?
God. Freaky's a solid 4. Maybe a 4.5. It's really good.
I would give it a 4. I liked it a lot. Alright, so
one of the best horror movies we've seen this year, I think.
I agree. So, one of the next movies we watched was a documentary called Secrets of the Saqqara? I hope I didn't butcher that.
It's an Egyptian tomb. Alright. We're not going to say Saqqara very much.
The documentary was about this revolutionary... They found a new tomb, which I don't know if you know. Doesn't happen super often over in Egypt, because tomb raiders done raided all the tombs, and this one was pretty much untouched.
Yeah, all the good shit's already been raided.
And stolen and put in British Museum.
Right, but now they're like, hey, we found something brand new. This is legitimately new stuff. And that's exciting. Like, I'm not big into archaeology or anything, but seeing new discoveries in the year of our Lord 2020 is kind of rare.
Yeah, they found the tomb in late 2018, and the documentary was filmed last year. But I do know that they have continued digging, and they have found even more stuff this year. I think one of the biggest discoveries they found was some mummified lions, which even though we knew Egyptians kept lions, we had never found one before. And they found several. And they found, like, crocodile and mummified birds and all kinds of things.
No, and I thought it was really cool that, like, in one of these rooms, instead of having above-ground tombs or anything with sarcophagi, there were just these giant shafts that went straight down, like, what was it, 10, 12 feet?
Some of them were, it just depended on, like, one of them was really deep, but yeah.
But they had to go and dig all the way down through the shaft and just see what they found. They found human remains. Several children were buried together.
Yeah, so it's really sad. They find out, and I don't know if they had figured out which disease yet that they died of, but they believe that they had built this tomb for the family to be buried in, but then all of a sudden, everyone but the dad got, like, really sick and died. And so they were found buried without coffins, and they were like, well, why would they be buried
without their sarcophagi?
Right. But because they didn't have time to have them made before they died, because they weren't expected to die so soon. And they found, like, a whole story about it on the wall, and it was beautiful. And they found this gorgeous coffin that this dude was buried in. It was incredible, and they found all these different statues, and, I thought it was really beautiful to see. And
you feel bad, but it's wonderful that they have a record, and, like, we can tell their story.
I mean,
thousands of years later.
I don't feel bad because they would be dead by now.
Right. Obviously.
I mean, that sucked for him at the time, but I would never have met them.
But all the people who died in Pompeii would have been dead by now either. But knowing how and where they died, being able to look back at the record and say, oh, there's a record in the stone. There's a record in the writings.
Oh, I'm fascinated with Pompeii.
Yeah, you love Egypt, so much.
Oh, for sure.
I'm actually making you a Christmas present based on the movie The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you know what it is...
Yeah, it'll be cool to see it when it's
done. I'm really excited to see if I can make everything work together and if I can't completely butcher it. I'm okay with my hands. I'm okay with crafts, but it's also kind of one of those fine-tuning kind of projects that if it's not right, it won't work.
I do have to say that I'm a little reluctant. I was watching this and I was like, why didn't I become an archaeologist? And then I was like, oh yeah, because there was a curse on this tomb and several people have died. I forgot curses be a thing. I know some people don't believe in curses, but I think...
What's that line from the movie? That's cursed. That's cursed. Everything cursed. Is cursed.
Everything is cursed.
Yeah.
But several people have died. It's probably more has to do with the dangerous working conditions than any curse, but I ain't risking it. I don't play with stuff. I don't play with curses. I don't play with Ouija boards. I don't play with none of that.
They keep saying coronavirus came from China, but it came from this fucking tomb.
It's cursed.
It's gotta be cursed.
Well, they opened it, and they started really getting into it mid-2019.
Shit.
Cursed.
So how many popcorn buckets would you give Secrets of the Saqqara?
It was really fascinating, but... Be prepared to read a lot, which is fine, but don't start this late at night, which is what we did the first time we tried to watch it.
Yeah, I fell asleep the first time we tried watching it. And even the second time, I wasn't exactly, 100%.
It's super interesting, but when you're sitting there reading, and it's 9:30, 10 p.m., and you're like, oh my god, I'm falling asleep. But it is fascinating, so I would give it 3.5.
See, I'd only give it about 2.5. Right? I find it interesting, but there wasn't any action, there was no humor. It's a documentary, but... Some documentaries have, really interesting, fun stuff, and this was more scientific.
You mean, the other documentary series we started watching?
Which one?
The Cursed Places one?
That one was fun. That one is more for our stream mini show, but absolutely.
Yeah, if y'all haven't checked it out, Nat Geo's got a new show called, I think it's called Cursed Places.
Atlas.
Atlas, Cursed Places, something like that. And it's fascinating. We have watched the Atlantis episode, and we're probably going to watch this week. We're going to watch the Bermuda Triangle episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all about watching stuff on Cursed Places. I just don't go there.
Or there's another one that we'll touch on really briefly. We watched another movie just recently called Class Action Park, and this came out this last year.
That place was cursed.
Yeah, so long story short, place in New Jersey, it is a theme park that has, zero oversight and regulation.
Kind of like the first water park in America. And it was around in the 80s. And for those of you that were around then, you probably know, people didn't care as much about safety as they do now.
Yeah, it was like Roller Coaster Tycoon. It's just, everyone would be dying. It's like, aw, public outlook is bad. they're not doing anything about it. They're literally just letting kids die in the wave pool. And well.
I think they said, what was it, by the end, that it was six people died?
Oh, yeah.
Who knows how many countless injuries? Because apparently back in the day, you only had to report serious injuries. And unless you
went... And serious was really arbitrary.
Yeah, and unless you went away on a stretcher, it wasn't serious. But, there were people, with broken bones. They had this weird orange antiseptic they would spray on rashes.
Yeah, it had alcohol and,
iodine.
Yes.
God, this place was a mess, and the owner just didn't care.
Right, he said, fuck y'all, I'm making money.
He's like, I want to build a water park, and I want to just build whatever I want, and that's how it's gonna be.
But I'm not gonna lie, it looked really fun.
I'm sure it was, until you broke your neck.
Right, but, kids are, swinging off of the Tarzan swing and going down the big giant hill of death.
Let's put it this way. If you had to be rescued by a lifeguard, they put a bracelet on you that said CFS, which stood for Can't Fucking Swim, and then they would make you wear that the rest of the day. But, they still let you play in the water park.
And the strange thing, you're watching it, and it's like, well, there's a lot of people who used to work there and stuff, and they're comedians, and they're telling all these jokes about Action Park. And there's real life testimony and there's drawings showing what all of the things were. And to me, I'm like, see, that is a really fun, interesting documentary because I'm learning a lot, but I'm not like...
Sorry,
I'm not bored about it either.
Sorry, Egypt isn't exciting as a road rash on the...
If they'd found, like, a real mummy, I'd have been like, all right, this is a fucking documentary.
They did find mummies.
Like a mummy. Like, mummy.
You mean, like, come back to life?
Imhotep.
They don't really do that.
Yes, they do. I've seen the movies.
I've never seen a real-life mummy come back to life.
It's 2020. And there's still, like, what, 14 days left?
I've seen a few mummies. Including, remember that mummified mammoth we saw?
Yeah.
That was cool as hell.
But as far as documentaries go, this one was fun, but I'd give Class Action Park like 3.5.
I would agree. It was a little better, but it also was like funny, and it was trying to show you how ridiculous it was.
It was fucking ridiculous. Also, apparently Donald Trump was going to have skin in the game on on Action Park. Like, he was going to do it, and even Trump was like, nah. I'm good. Like, you know, it has to be fucked up for Donald Trump to be like, that's a little sleazy, right?
So, Class Action Park also, so Action Park, the water park, was on one side of the highway. And on the other side, it opened at night, they had a speedway. And the adults would just go there and get, like, hammered.
And they'd have sex in the first aid shack.
And then they would drive in these cars that were, like, go-karts, but, like... They weren't safe.
They'd take off the speed regulator so they could drive them on the highway.
They were going 60 miles an hour and then go-karts and stuff.
And they're telling stories about, like, the speed boats that are getting, like, piled on top of each other. They're getting pancaked.
And there was this one ride that I thought was fairly acceptable. It was, like, these little, like...
It was, like, tanks. And they battle tanks, I think they call it.
They would shoot tennis balls at each other. That's fine and dandy. Except one time some guy got gasoline and would pour them on his tennis balls and lit them on fire and then shot them at everyone.
And so it's literally, like, Molotov cocktails just flying through the air at people. The 80s. Glad I wasn't there.
This place was open... through the 80s.
It was like 84 through 96, I think.
Something like that. And, dear Lord, I mean, I'm sure it was fun. People that lived.
All right, let's change pace to a romance.
So should we talk about A Recipe for Seduction?
That's the one I want to talk about. So, A Recipe for Seduction is a Lifetime original short film that is centered and sponsored by KFC.
It has Mario Lopez playing Harlan?
Harlan.
Okay.
Harlan Sanders, before he became the Colonel.
Colonel Harlan Sanders.
Yeah. And apparently he is a private chef to this wealthy family whose daughter needs to marry into another wealthy family or else they will lose their fortune.
She needs to marry Billy.
Even though Billy's a total D-bag.
And who's been sleeping with her mom.
Which, if that's the case, why don't they just... marry each other.
The mom seems so concerned with money, but yet she's sleeping with her daughter's proposed fiance. Yet, why doesn't she just marry Billy and then they would have money? It didn't make any sense.
And furthermore, if you're out of money, why do you have a private chef? The Colonel of all people.
Yeah, they hired this guy from some fancy 5-star restaurant.
Yeah. Elephant in the room. Mario Lopez as Colonel Sanders. Is this not the most ridiculous shit ever?
Okay, yeah, but he was a sexy Colonel Sanders.
He's the sexiest one we've had since Reba. I think.
I agree.
Hattie, y'all! I'm the Colonel!
He didn't have an accent.
No, though. he did not have a Southern accent at all. Which was kind of disappointing.
A little bit. I would have liked a fake one. A really good, funny fake
one. A really, like, clearly fake, but also playing it off like it's not a gag at all. I would have liked him to have been, like, the straight man.
And her gay best friend tries to, like, intercept her mom's evil plans, and he gets kidnapped, and they're literally going to murder the best friend and Colonel Sanders. But then they all get saved, and the mom and Billy go to a sane asylum.
It is a very fast pace, because it's only
15 minutes
long, and so they have to, like, you know, snap, snap, snap. They have no time for extras. But they still end up kissing, the main character and Mario Lopez's Sanders. They end up kissing like 2 or 3 times because it's a romance.
Right.
And they're like, oh my god, she's falling for the chef? Like, it's so corny.
He has a recipe for a secret.
Oh.
Spices.
Like, what, probably 10 or 15 times in this 15 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
They mention his super secret recipe that's going to change the world.
Also, they come up with the best insult ever. It says, go away, crouton.
Yeah.
For now on, we'll be calling everyone croutons. No.
And then, after the altercation goes on, Mario Lopez points to the guy and he says, "Don't call me crouton."
I was like, why was that just the worst insult, I guess?
But I loved it. Like, it was stupid and dorky, but I look at these Lifetime movies and I'm thinking, God, that is stupid and dorky and lame. At least this was trying to be stupid and lame, but was also funny. Like, yeah. And I didn't have to sit for like 2 hours through the thing.
All Lifetime movies should be 20 minutes or less.
Right. It's like, but what about the character development? No one gives a shit about the character development. I want to see Mario Lopez looking sexy, and that's the end. Like, I don't care about any of the other stuff.
The only Lifetime movies that should be longer are the ones that talk about real-life murderers. Those are good. Those are the only ones I like. Wow. How many buckets of chicken would you give a recipe for seduction?
I'd give this 3 pieces of a biscuit.
And a side of mashed potatoes.
Mario Lopez brought the gravy.
Okay. Let's move on. So we watched The New Witches.
Oh, yeah. The one with
Anne Hathaway.
That's the one. I almost said Sarah Jessica Parker, and I was like, that's wrong. That's someone completely different. Okay, so there was a version of The Witches that came out in, like, 91 or 92. And for anybody who doesn't know, it's based on a Roald Dahl book who did movies like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, James and the Giant Peach. That's all Roald Dahl. And essentially, there's a kid in a hotel with a big group of witches. There's, like, a witch convention. And they turn them into mice, and they're trying to exterminate the mice.
Mm-hmm. And Octavia Spencer plays his grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this version, they made the protagonist a young black boy, and they changed the setting to kind of
the South.
Louisiana, right? And so they throw in things like voodoo and homebrewed witchcraft there. Versus in the original, as far as I understand, it doesn't have that. And I actually think adding that element in really made it a bit more palatable.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really like the first one that much.
No offense to Anne Hathaway, though, but, like, I just didn't like her that much. I mean, I know she's supposed to be the witch and you're supposed to hate her, but, like, I just didn't think she did that. Like, the other characters, I think, did a better job.
Even as a witch, I think she was too pretty.
Yeah, they could have made her uglier.
They really could have.
And, like, Octavia Spencer does a good job.
Oh, yeah.
And Stanley Tucci's in it. He's, like, the head of the hotel.
Mm-hmm. And, but the idea is that they have this magic potion that they're going to put on chocolates, and they're going to try to turn all the children in the world into mice. And
because everyone hates mice.
Because people hate mice, except for us. We have 5 of them. We had 6, but rest in peace, Elsa.
R.I.P.
The whole story with them trying to steal the potion that will turn kids into mice, stopping the witches, saving the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think the plot progression was really good. The effects were good. I just didn't necessarily like it that much.
It just wasn't that necessary.
Yeah.
If we're being honest. It wasn't anything to write home about.
Yeah.
I give it 2.5 popcorn bucket.
Yeah, two and a half. So it's kind of on the low end for me.
I mean, yeah. It was certainly not the best movie. It was probably the worst movie we watched on the list.
But it did have some fun moments, and I can't say that any of the acting was particularly bad.
No, none of the acting was bad. It was just kind of, like I said, 2.5. It was average. It was mediocre. Right, in the middle.
Mediocre is a good word for it. So, BFG was definitely better.
So, the next movie we watched was Croods 2.
Okay. Can I just say, I went into Croods 2
didn't want to watch
this. This is going to be the dumbest fucking movie. It's going to be horrible. I watched the first one. I remember nothing about the first one. Okay.
I tried to get him to watch the first one.
And I was
again.
Like, no. I'm not going to rewatch it. I'm just going to go into it. I'm sure they'll give me a quick refresher, which they did.
In the first movie, basically, it's about Emma Stone's family. Emma Stone's name is, what is it, Ugg? Ig or something? I don't remember.
They have caveman names, so it's kind of hard.
Eep. Her name is Eep.
Eep.
Okay. And basically,
yeah, you might want to have that character list handy.
Yeah. So basically, Eep finds a boyfriend, like, named Guy.
He's a sexy one.
Played by Ryan Reynolds.
Hold up. Ryan Reynolds is playing a guy named Guy, but in the upcoming movie, Free Guy, he's playing a guy named Guy 2.
No, I think his name is just Guy. I don't think it's Guy 2.
Okay.
If you can see the disappointment on his face.
The point is that Ryan Reynolds is playing two guys named Guy.
Correct.
In two movies coming out within, like, 6 months of each other.
Right. And so, basically, it was their adventure learning to leave their cave and be more brave, right, in the first movie.
Yeah.
So, in this movie, they are looking for something that Guy's parents told him about.
And they're calling it Tomorrow.
And it's basically a paradise. And so, they find it, and...
But it's already being occupied by the Bettermans. And the Bettermans...
Emphasis on better.
Mm-hmm. But there's three members of the Betterman family. There's Peter Dinklage as the father.
Phil.
He's Phil.
And then there's Leslie Mann as Hope.
Mm-hmm. And then the daughter.
Played by Kelly Marie Tran.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Dawn.
Right. And Dawn and Guy were friends when they were kids. And so they kind of have like this whole, hey, we were childhood friends. We need to, you know, catch up. And that's kind of seen by everyone as romantic entanglement, right? It's right. Like, hey, they're going to fall in love now that they've met back up.
Even though Eep and Guy are a thing.
Yeah, and they're talking about getting married.
Meanwhile, Eep's dad, Grug, played by Nicolas Cage, is having a really hard time letting go, right? Like, so in Eep's family, there's Eep and Guy, and then there's Grug, and there's Ugga is the mom, played by Catherine Keener, and then Thunk is her brother, Clark, played by Clark Duke, and then there's Gran, played by Clark...
Wait, that's Clark Duke?
Yeah. You know who that is.
I do know who that is.
I told you you would.
That is so funny.
Cloris Leachman plays Gran, and I have to say, Gran is my favorite character.
She's great. She really is.
And I forget what the little one's name is. There's a little daughter, and I think it's Sandy. It doesn't matter, but she doesn't have really lines, but she's a crazy little cave.
Mm-hmm. She's a biter.
Yeah. And so, like, they're having a hard time with... Grug is having a hard time, mostly, with Eep moving out on her own and the family becoming separate and not sleeping in a giant stinky pile anymore. And
right, because when you bring in modern amenities, these, you know, prehistoric, ancient ways of doing things kind of become obsolete. You don't have to sit for hours trying to make a fire when you have a fireplace.
Right.
You know, it's little things like that. Indoor plumbing, elevators, cultivating fields, like these sorts of advances in technology make their lives so much different. Not necessarily easier, but...
Right.
But it's different in a way that Ugga and everybody just don't like it.
Also, Guy has a sloth named Belt, which is hilarious.
Because he wears it like a belt.
And, yeah, it's just really funny. Gran also has hair that
she has a wig.
That is an animal, and I laughed so hard when it came off her head, because you don't know that it's an animal. And it was so damn funny.
Because it flies away. And what is the name?
Wigasus.
Wigasus. The flying wig. Jesus Christ. It was, like I said, like this movie, I went into it thinking this was going to be so dumb. And I was right. But it was also really enjoyable. I was thoroughly pleased.
If you like puns, this is a great movie for you. There was a lot of puns.
Also a lot of tongue-in-cheek jokes. Like, kids won't get it, but the grown-ups definitely
like
do.
Like, being the Bettermans?
Yeah.
Better man.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, give them a gift basket and trying to convince them to leave, which is really funny. There's just a lot of fun, and there's a whole plot line revolving around bananas, which
yeah.
is really funny.
And we don't want to give away too much, but the bananas?
Super important.
Super important.
And Grug is obsessed with bananas.
Yeah, he had them once as a kid, and he can't stop dreaming about them. And the Bettermans are like, yeah.
Don't eat the bananas.
Don't touch the bananas.
Eat anything else.
They're special.
I did have a theory about this movie, that it was set in the future. Okay, let me explain my theory.
All right, shoot.
So I think the movie is set in the future because there's all these different hybrids. Like, there's wolf spiders, mammoth cows.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And so my theory is that some kind of, like, apocalypse happened, and people basically had to revert back to being cave people, but it's probably, like, some kind of nuclear thing, and so a lot of different animals kind of just combined and became, like, new things. The mammoth cows are so cute, though.
There's a lot of really cute hybrid animals. Me, I'm more along the lines of thinking that it's, like, an alternate reality or an alien planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it has Earth-type elements to it. But the people, especially the cave people, are extremely strong. and it makes me think that the gravity on this Earth is a bit different.
I guess. That kind of makes sense.
But the animation scenes, they're really fun. They do a really good job on them. They rely heavily on the Partridge Family for their soundtrack, which I don't hate.
Oh, remember the chicken seal?
Yes.
The chicken seals were so funny.
Brittany enjoyed this movie.
I did. I laughed a lot.
Yeah, and I did too. This is definitely good family popcorn fare.
Look, it's not Coco.
No.
But it's kind of like around...
This is its own thing. This doesn't have to be like a Disney flick. It's not trying to be a Disney flick.
No, it's funny though. I thought that this was funnier than the first movie.
It's kind of in the same vein as something like Ice Age, right? It's silly, it's fun. Or I'm trying to think. The one about the safari. I like to move it. What's that
Madagascar?
One?
Madagascar?
Yeah, it's kind of feeling like Madagascar.
Hopefully they won't bleed this franchise dry like they do all the other ones.
They really could stop after probably maybe one more.
Yeah, I think one more would be solid. The end.
Any more than that, and I think they're pushing it. Their luck. But Popcorn Buckets, what would you give it?
I would give it 3, simply because I laughed a lot.
Only 3? I'd give it probably a 3 or 3.5.
Maybe 3.5.
Because, I mean, it's a fun kids movie. That's the thing. It's like you're going it expecting a certain thing, and it delivers on that certain thing.
Plus, all the monkeys in this were really funny.
Mm, there are a lot of monkeys because you can't have a good banana storyline without a ton of monkeys.
The monkeys are just super funky.
Super funky?
The monkeys are super funny.
Funky monkey.
There's like a creepo monkey with the giant eyes. Loved him. And the language the monkey speaks, it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, solid voice acting.
Isn't this good for kids?
If your kids want to watch this, you'll get some kicks out of it.
It's a good movie just to have fun with.
So, the next movie we watched was a Christmas-y type movie called Godmothered, which was a new movie, just came out on Disney+.
Yeah.
And basically, the premise of this movie is that the school for godmothers is shutting down. There are going to be no more godmothers. They're all going to become tooth fairies.
Yes.
And the newest godmother is like, no, I want to be a godmother. So she finds a letter.
And it's like the very last one that hasn't been addressed.
So she takes it and leaves. But the letter was written many years ago.
Yeah, like 25 years ago.
Something like that. It was written when the girl was 10, and she's clearly an adult because she has a teenage daughter now.
Yeah.
So, this godmother is not very good.
She's in training. You don't want to say she's not very good. That implies that she's like a screw-up. Like, I think she just has a lot to learn.
She doesn't know any of the spells yet.
But she's very motivated. Right, she has a lot of drive to do the right thing. She just doesn't have the skills in place to use her wand correctly.
Correct. The godmother is played by Jillian Bell, and her name is in the movie is Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
Isla Fisher plays the now grown up little girl that she's trying to help, and then she's got her 2 kids. And June Squibb is like a godmother as well. So she's like a narrator.
Also, Jane Curtis is like the head godmother.
Right.
And she was in Saturday Night Live way back when, in the Coneheads and everything. But she hasn't been in a whole lot of stuff, so it was nice to see her face. She popped up, and I was like Leo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he's like pointing at the screen. Mm-hmm. That was me when Jane Curtis popped up.
Okay, your name is Jane Curtin?
Curtin?
No S at the end.
Oops. Well, I guess I don't know her that well.
Apparently not.
But I knew who she was by face anyway.
Anyway. The story is all about Eleanor trying to help Isla Fisher's character. I think her name's Mac. They call her Mac. Okay. Mackenzie.
Yeah.
And trying to help her find her happily ever after. Because if she has like 4 days or something before the godmothers get shut down, and if she doesn't help her find her happily ever after, she'll lose her magic or has to go back and become a tooth fairy.
Which she does not want to do.
Neither of those things are acceptable.
Nope. But it's weird because she's going in, and Isla Fisher has lost her husband several years ago, and so she's raising these 2 daughters by herself.
And she was up for a promotion, but her husband died, so she didn't take the promotion at her news station.
Right, so now she's miserable working under the guy who did take the job.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a news anchor, and instead of focusing on feel-good stories and things, her boss is all about finding the big story, even if it's totally fabricated. Like,
right.
you go to the hot dog stand, it's like, are the hot dogs made by people who don't wash their hands? Or can people get sick from this?
Is face paint causing, like, sickness?
Yeah. And it's like, Find something really good and just take the worst possible spin on it, and that's what this guy wants. And she doesn't like it, but she has to pay the bills for the sake of her family. And so the fairy godmother comes into play, and she's helping out Mac.
Sort of.
But she's also helping out the two daughters.
Right.
The one daughter is a musician, and she has terrible stage fright.
Because she used to sing with her dad, but now that her dad's passed away, every time she tries to sing, it makes her nervous.
Yeah. And then the youngest daughter, she doesn't get a whole lot of character development, does she?
No, but she's just kind of sad that her mom is and her sister are sad.
Yeah. And that's enough for the story. There are fun Disney moments. A lot of really goofy, magical things where she's trying to, you know,
float things. She blows up a lot of pumpkins.
Yeah. And she creates fireworks and she makes animals do things like sweep.
The raccoon is the funniest character.
Yeah.
Gary, I think.
And, but she turns the dog Bingo into a pig.
Does she? Because at the end, remember, Bingo comes running in and the pig is still there. So where did the pig come from? Whose dog is the pig?
I don't know, but apparently she's changing animals around. Also, she does not understand that vehicles are a thing.
Yeah, so because apparently the godmothers haven't been to Earth in like a while.
Right, and so all of their methodology is super outdated, and that's another theme of the story. It's that it's not about, you know, finding a prince and moving into a castle.
There's
and
different kinds having of love.
Happily ever after, like that's something that needs to be moved away from. And unless one of these fairy godmothers goes to Earth and tries to help them, they're
even
not accomplishing it.
There is a love interest, and his last name is Prince, which is funny.
But they don't make that the main point of interest, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it was nice to see.
It's not like Enchanted, where it's like, I'm dreaming of a true love's kiss, and I wanna be magical. Like,
which is Amy Adams, not Isla Fisher. Yeah. Because I spent the first half of the movie thinking that it was the same person.
Mm. But, side note, I think they're actually making a sequel to Enchanted called Disenchanted.
They just announced it.
They announced it along with all the other Marvel and Star Wars stuff. We'll talk about that in a second.
Do you think Amy Adams is going to get divorced from her love interest?
Maybe. I just hope Marsden comes back. James Marsden.
He was the best part of that movie.
He was. But yeah, this movie overall was a fun little kids Disney Christmas movie without leaning too heavily into Christmas.
Right.
But I would still consider it a Christmas movie, and I'd give it like...
I mean, the whole premise is they're trying to get the one girl ready to sing in a Christmas parade.
Yeah.
So, it's Christmassy enough.
Yeah, I'd give it like maybe three.
I agree. It was fun, but it wasn't anything to write home about.
Yeah, it was even road. It was something to watch. We also watched another Christmas quote-unquote movie, The Grinch Musical.
Oh, God.
All right, so we're not going to get too far into this. But
we didn't watch the whole thing.
Right, I had to skip through it because I love The Grinch. We've seen all the Grinch movies, and I would rate them as follows. Stink, stank, stunk. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
You didn't even say which movies you rated where.
But seriously, I just wanted to make that joke. We have the original animated up at the top, and then Jim Carrey's version just underneath that. And then a little ways below it, we have the new animated Grinch movie.
Which was cute in its own way.
Mm-hmm, but it was still good. And then way down here, at the bottom of Mount Crumpet, is this fucking musical. What's his name? Matthew Morrissey?
I think so. Matthew Morrison?
Okay. Well, in this musical, they don't... I'm not sure if it's based on a stage play, or if this was written original for the TV or not. But it was just... It was cringy in places, and it felt like there were way too many songs to convey what was going on.
Also, Matthew Morrison was, like, really sexualizing the Grinch.
Yeah, it's like...
It was weird.
No, Jim Carrey, it's like, ooh, he's daddy, right? And they make jokes about that online. But Matthew looked at the memes online, he's like...
I could do that.
I want to do that, and he just didn't do it very well.
I was just physically uncomfortable with him every time he was on. Like, he literally, like, whips poor Boo Boo Stewart.
Yeah, Boo Boo Stewart plays Max, and that's the young version, because the older version of Max is actually narrating. And sometimes they're on screen together, which is very weird. And they're working together, two Maxes, one old and one young. That's strange. And Cindy Lou Who and her whole family, they have a lot of Who scenes that really don't add anything.
I just gotta say, I don't really like Matthew Morrison. Like, he's a solid actor, but like, all his character choices seem bad.
Yeah. Well, like, maybe he's typecast as somebody like, who can just do bad characters.
He's solidly believable, but he just chooses, like, bad traits. Like, making the Grinch sexy. Bad choice.
Maybe that was the director, though. We don't know. Maybe they were like, you have to, like, kiss the camera or whatever.
Making the teacher in Glee a, like, sexualizing and berating his students all the time. Bad choice.
Yeah.
Very bad choices. I'm sorry. He's probably a very nice person. I don't know. But I just don't like it when I see him in things.
But yeah, the whole thing. And even the songs that they did that we know, like You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch and Fahu Fores, I just felt like they fell flat.
Yeah, it is what it is.
And as far as rewatching it, I never would.
It was boring. It was dull, it was flat, and it was uninspired.
Yeah, 1 out of 5 popcorn buckets.
I agree. I hated it.
And what is the public saying about it?
That they hate it.
Ah, see? So we're also not alone.
I hated the way the Grinch looked. I didn't like... They gave him a weird face that was just... I don't know how to describe it. It was just weird. And why was his booty so big? Everyone's butt in this was giant. Like, apparently the director was just obsessed with giant butts. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a large butt. There's not. But everyone in your entire town? Is that a trait of being a Who?
It must be a race thing. It must be, you know, the Who people got junk in the trunk. And they're saving it all for Christmas.
Instead of giving them weird noses, the director was like, let's give them all big butts.
Come on, let's up the ass game on these Who's.
I mean, I guess. It was a weird choice. I just say, and almost everyone had pink hair, which was also a weird choice. So, yeah. I don't know.
But I just wanted to mention that in passing because I was thinking about it. And good God, it's just...
Did you know he made fun of his, like, the movie himself? He said his children have nightmares about it.
Well, that makes me feel better then. At least he knows.
Yeah.
Alright, so the last movie that we have to talk about on our list is a newer movie made by an indie company. Mm-hmm. And it's called Arch Enemy, and it stars Joe Manganiello.
Yes, Joe Mangello.
Manganiello.
Limoncello.
That's what I said.
Okay.
And he plays a superhero, but he's only a superhero on his home planet. Because he was apparently caught up in this evil scheme, and the villain kicked him through time and space. And he landed on this alternate version of Earth, which is ours. And here, there's no source of his powers. So he's essentially just a homeless guy.
The other two people that were in the movie, starring in the movie, were a character named Hamster, played by Skylyn Brooks, and Indigo, played by Zolee Griggs. I apologize if I mispronounced your name.
And in Arch Enemy, they're in a city and there's some really seedy stuff happening. And Indigo is working for a drug dealer.
Called the manager.
And it's kind of a... You know, kind of a big mob type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to get on his good side so she can make some more money for the family. Meanwhile, Hamster is a budding reporter who wants to get the beat. Like, he's a beat reporter. He wants to get all the new stories that people online are going to say are going to go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes across this homeless guy who went by Mac Fist. No.
Yeah, Max Fist.
Max Fist, not Mac. Right, and Max Fist, to everyone else, he's just a homeless guy, and he's bumbling and talking to himself and hitting the wall. But he sits down and talks to him over a case of beer, and Hamster finds out that he has all these stories about the superheroics he did on this other planet, and how cool he used to be, and he has a lot of details to it, so he's either a schizophrenic or this is the real deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with what's happening with Indigo and the drug dealer side, it actually, both stories kind of converge when this guy ends up dying and she steals his money.
Yeah, played by Paul Scheer, weird drug guy.
Yeah, the one who told us all about brute force.
Correct. So, the movie was weird in the front half.
It was weird in the whole half, but especially in the front.
The front half was almost, like, disjointed.
Yeah, it was hard to follow.
And it all made sense at the end, but I will say this was not my favorite movie. It kind of felt like a Watchmen meets Hancock.
Yeah.
Kind of feel.
Hancock, but not as well done.
I do like they used some animation to kind of show like some of his superpowers and stuff. mm-hmm. which I appreciated. That way, I'd rather see some really cool animation than some bad CGI.
Yeah, because it's also a great way to show that it is a different Earth.
Right.
Right, and so if it's showing actual footage of him, you might think he can still do that. But it's like, no, this is a different reality, a different version of me. And it shows. And the animation is kind of weird. If you have seizures or something, I probably wouldn't recommend this because there's a lot of, like, flashing and bright lights in the animation. But it is visually stimulating, and it does tell what it's supposed to tell.
It was weird. It was a weird movie, and I feel like it would take a unique person to really, truly be like, wow, I love this movie. It wasn't bad. I just don't know if it was for me.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely, you could tell that it was made on a low budget, right? Like, the movie that we saw on Netflix a while back with something, it's where you
take... Project Power?
Yeah, it's the one where you take
Jamie
the pill.
Fox?
Jamie Foxx, right? It's the one where you take the pill and you get powers.
Mm-hmm.
That one you could tell was done by a bigger studio with a bigger budget. Because even though it had kind of the same down-to-earth feel, I think the effects were better.
It wasn't that for me, the low-budgetness of it for me. It was more to me that I felt like they weren't sure where the script was going when they started filming. And so they kind of just, like, threw it together a little. But maybe he just had a really unique vision. I just feel like he could have, you know, maybe done another draft of the script and kind of ironed out what exactly we were supposed to be watching.
Right.
It was unique and it was different, and I really felt for the characters. You kind of get the sense that, like, it's hard to get out of the ghetto. Like, it's, you know, Indigo's trying to be a drug dealer so that she can pay for her brother to get out.
Right, so he can go to college and be a real reporter and not a, you know, a website reporter.
Right, and you find out, you know, the manager was never going to let Indigo go. And she was never going to make enough money to get out. She was never going to get them out. And it's kind of, I felt like if they touched more on that and more on the fact that, like, you know, it's pretty much next to impossible for people to get out of their social class and their
economic situation.
Right. And that's why some people turn to, you know, selling drugs. I mean, it's not like they have much choice, you know. The choice is be poor forever or maybe try to sell drugs and help someone you know in the family out of the situation.
Right. It's the same reason people become sex workers and dancers and things, because they're like, look, this is a temporary thing to help me get from a bad place to a better place.
But they never do.
Right, because
it's
once
next
you get
to impossible.
Once you get into that sort of line of business, it's much harder to get out. Now, I will say that Max Fist, Joe Manganiello, or Limoncello, or whatever the hell you want to call him, he does a good job. And Hancock was better, but for this story, he did a good job. And I love that they hit him with a car, and so he kills the car.
Basically.
That was really fun, because even though he's not a superhero, he's still pretty hardy, right?
I felt like there were a lot of good points in the movie, but you kind of almost run over those points with the car. And, you know, you miss a lot of those because there's a lot of, like, static going around in the movie.
I agree. You have to kind of fine-tune it to really get what they're talking about.
Like, if you listen, you get a whole interesting, rich story. But if you blink, you kind of miss some of it.
Yeah. Overall, I'd probably give it, like, 2.5 popcorn buckets, what would you say?
I would agree.
Like, I don't want to sing its praises because it does have good points, but overall, I would have gone to the movie theater for this.
And been a little disappointed.
And been disappointed.
But I always try to, I like supporting indie films, and
me too.
It wasn't horrible, it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah. But if you love superhero movies and you're tired of watching the same stuff over and over again, this is different. This is a very different movie.
I would say it was worth one watch, but I wouldn't watch it again.
Right, and I wouldn't add it to my DVD collection either.
Mm-mm.
So now that we're done talking about all the movies we watched, let's kind of talk about the future of Disney Plus and Real Romance. Because I think there was a lot of news that dropped recently that is worth talking about before we kind of head out for the season.
So Disney just recently announced their entire slate of what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not their entire slate. You know they always hold things back.
Yeah.
But we learned a lot of stuff. There was, like 8-9 Star Wars titles coming?
Yeah, most of them. Most of them are shows, and some are animated. But most notably, we're going to have Ahsoka, which is going to be spinning off of that latest episode of Mandalorian that we talked about on the podcast. And we also have The Bad Batch, which is animated based on Clone Wars. We have a droid story, Republic.
I'm not watching that one with C-3PO and R2-D2. I hate C-3PO with a passion.
I know you do.
He's the worst.
He is obnoxious, but R2-D2, I like. But yeah, they have a ton of Star Wars stuff, and while I'm excited for it, really the only ones I care about
at this point
are Ahsoka, Mandalorian, and maybe one other.
I mean, we're just not, like, I mean, Star Wars is cool, but...
And I'll probably watch a lot of it if it pops up, but...
The biggest news is stuff we've been waiting on for a while.
Right.
They announced that they will not be moving Black Widow to Disney Plus. They right. will be waiting and putting it in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got dates for a lot of our other shows. We got WandaVision is definitely going to be coming out on January 15th.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Winter Soldier, which is going to be coming out the following March.
And then...
Which tells us that it doesn't necessarily hinge on Black Widow.
Not too much.
Right. Because I always thought they were waiting and waiting because Black Widow had to come out first, lest
maybe
there be spoilers.
They just hadn't had time to film it. And then we also got... We got a trailer for that, for both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a trailer for Loki, which got a May release date.
Yeah, and that looks really exciting.
And we know that Hawkeye, which we got some set photos from, is going to be coming out next fall. So yeah. That's super exciting.
So that's four shows minimum from Marvel Disney Plus.
Plus What If.
What If, but I'm not sure the release date on that.
I don't know. But we did get to see and first look at it.
We got a good trailer of that.
And then they announced three completely new series that we hadn't heard of yet
right,
at
so,
all.
Because we knew about Moon Knight and She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel, which we got a little teaser on Ms. Marvel as well. And we've known about a lot of the movies coming out. And we had some huge movie news coming out with Spider-Man 3 to boot.
Everybody and their mom is going to be in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But the three new shows, we have Ironheart, and then we have Armor Wars, which is going to be Rhodey.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Ironheart. I just, that's the name of the title
no,
character,
Ironheart
right?
is Riri Williams, and she's a 15-year-old genius who built her own Iron Man suit.
Sweet.
That's pretty much the long short of it.
And then Secret Invasion, which is the Nick Fury series.
It's all about the Skrulls taking over and being infiltrated in Earth.
We don't have any release dates on any of those, but we can assume that probably with the three new shows coming out in this year, or four new shows coming out this year, we're probably going to get Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Ms. Marvel the next year.
Right.
And then we'll probably get those three shows either late next year or early 2023.
Right.
One can assume.
And we know that Mark Ruffalo is going to be coming back, as well as Abomination from the original Incredible Hulk movie.
And we know that Kamala Khan is going to be in Captain Marvel 2.
Right. So there is... Oh, and we know that Monica Rambeau, who plays... she's going to be in WandaVision, but she's Spectrum in the comics. She's also going to be in Captain Marvel 2. So there's so much stuff that's been announced. We know that Kang the Conqueror is going to be in Quantumania, the Ant-Man movie. We got a teaser for Fantastic Four, even though it's just a logo.
We also got a... there's going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Yeah.
Well, with a little mini-series called I Am Groot.
Yeah, like, there is so much Marvel stuff coming out, even though they're not all movies. Like,
well,
we are eating good in 2021.
We also got some names for some new movies. We got Quantumania is going to be the new Ant-Man and
yeah.
Wasp movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which
yeah.
is going to tie directly in to WandaVision and Spider-Man.
Yeah, and Spider-Man, like we said, is going to be crazy big. They've announced Green Goblin, Doc Ock, Electro, both Spider-Men from the previous...
Harry
from Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We got Peter Parker's plural.
All three of them, and Gwen Stacy.
And probably Mary Jane.
Yeah, she was... Kirsten Dunst was announced as well.
Yeah, so we have...
I'm sure we've missed somebody.
We have so much, and I am excited, because if Marvel could pull off Infinity War and Endgame and all these big...
It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. And then, as far as Disney goes,
We're going to get a Baymax animation.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of different micro series. We're going to have a Moana series. We're going to have a Tiana series from Princess and the Frog. We're going to have a movie starring Chris Evans, which is animated about Buzz Lightyear, the astronaut that inspired the toy from Toy Story.
Raya and the Last Dragon is going to premiere on Disney Plus as a premiere and in theaters. I'm assuming by March, we should be starting to get theaters back in most places.
Maybe.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Hopefully by the beginning of summer blockbuster season, we'll be able to open movies enough for there to be summer blockbusters.
Right.
I'm hoping. Also, Soul, which was going to come out in theaters, is actually coming out on Christmas Day on Disney+.
I mean, we already knew that, but we would definitely be watching.
Yeah, we're going to be watching and probably including it.
I think we'll probably do a little mini, like, Soul and Wonder Woman episode. Ow.
Sorry.
You're pulling my hair.
That means I like you.
I don't like you. There's going to be a little dog series about the dog from Up.
Yeah.
Which is pretty exciting. And then a little Cars series.
I don't give a shit about Cars.
Some people like Cars.
Yeah, I don't.
There's going to be something premiering in January called Pixar Popcorn, which is a little shorts featuring iconic Pixar characters.
See, that I'm down for. I'd love to see Flit again.
And then there's Luca, which is about an Italian boy named Luca. We don't know much about it, but... And then there's going to be...
What about the one in Colombia?
Yeah, Enchanto? Encanto?
Encanto.
Encanto? Sure, yeah, that's
right.
There's
not a C there.
No, you're right. It's Encanto. There's no H, rather. It's going to be made by Lin-Manuel, so should be pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Red Turning Red, which is about a little girl that turns into a red panda.
Yeah, like, so there's a lot of really fun stuff, and I hate to be like, oh, I love Disney and Marvel, but real talk, Disney and Marvel and Star Wars, they make good content, and I'm here for it.
Star Wars is hit and miss. Like, I feel like Star Wars, even though we're going to get, like, 8 or 9 series, I feel like half of them are going to be good, and half of them... I hear there's a big rift, and there's, like, 2 developing teams over there, and one is making good stuff, and one is making...
No, but it's possible that they're all good, but they don't always... They won't appeal to us. Like, Mandalorian appeals to us because it doesn't lean so heavily on space fights and lightsabers. Because
I hate Jedi.
Yeah.
I hate them. I'm just going to say it. I hate Jedi. I think they're the worst.
What about the Sith? Or do you just hate the Force altogether?
Mostly the Force. The Sith is kind of an interesting villain, but because they're paired up with the Jedi and they're, like, it's just awful. Like, I love the idea of having this cool power and just being able to move things and do things with your mind and stuff and your little hands. But then, like, you can't have any emotions. Like, that's literally impossible. We're not freaking
Spock.
We're not Spock.
That's
like
a different franchise altogether,
okay,
so that
I know,
would make sense.
But, like, that's what I mean. Like, the Vulcans?
Very good.
Yay, me! The Vulcans have no emotions, but they're the human... They're the humanoid.
Yeah.
But Jedi are not like that, and I think it's ridiculous.
It definitely creates a lot of, like, problems for making Jedi feel approachable or relatable.
Also, no offense, Han Solo's not great either.
Alright, you're gonna have to get the fuck... What do you think of Chewie?
He is a good character.
Okay, so as long as we're on that page.
I like Chewie and I like Leia, and, like, everybody else can just leave. Well, and R2. I like R2-D2. But R2-D2 is literally stuck with C-3PO in almost every scene, and C-3PO makes me miserable.
I think he makes a lot of people miserable.
I like Jar Jar Binks better than C-3PO. I don't care. You can hate me. I don't like Jar Jar. I'm just saying, if I had to pick one of the two, C-3PO could jump off a cliff.
Misa drive the plot!
At least he's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so, speaking of interesting, we have a lot of interesting things happening in Real Romance Season 3. Let's talk about it. What do we have going on in 2021?
Well, we're gonna cut back to 3 episodes a month.
Yeah.
We just can't do it. There's not enough time in our day. I kind of started a new tutoring gig. Yeah, there's not enough time for me to edit. There's not enough time for us to watch and record.
Right.
So.
And on top of that.
Sandy farted and it smells horrible.
No, it doesn't. I can't smell a thing.
I'm going to throw up. Sandy, stop it. You did it again. I'm going to be sick.
See, it's funny because for the first time, I'm the one who can't smell the farts.
It fucking smells like death.
So.
Go away, child. Stinks over here. Our recording spot has turned into a stank tank.
I like it. Hashtag stank tank. In addition to it just being so time consuming, we don't want to oversaturate the Undercover Capes podcast network with Real Romance. We want to make sure that there are a lot of different things that you can see. And if we're putting out one a week, I don't want it to feel like we're taking more than our fair share of the pie. But we're going to have our normal movie review where we go over the movies we watch that month, whether they be brand new movies or movies we just come across on streaming. With COVID still being around, it'll at least be March before we really have any big movie releases in theaters.
Other than Wonder Woman.
Right. There's going to be a couple. There's going to be one here or there. But overall, it's going to be things we catch on TV or things that are streaming. And streaming does have a lot of new movies, so it won't be that thin. But
I mean, we'll definitely let you know when the next KFC Lifetime movie comes
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. You'll be the first to know. Maybe it'll be an Easter one.
Who knows?
Hosted by Denny's. And it's called An Excellent Romance.
No,
right?
I think it should be like they bring in a rival for Colonel Sanders.
It's like, oh.
Church's Chicken.
This is Burger King. Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
I was thinking maybe a Popeye.
Ooh, I got. Well, it's not the same Popeye.
No.
But that would be hilarious. And then in addition to the movie one, we're going to have our stream, just like we have. We'll reassess whether we want to call them stream minis or something else.
Probably not stream
because
minis.
Because we originally thought they were going to be like a half hour long. And then every single stream mini is like an hour and 15 to an hour 20.
I think we had like two episodes that were under 40 minutes.
And then the rest of them were just like, fuck it, we watch 12 shows. We have to talk about all of them. And it turned into a big long thing. And then finally, we're going to take the idea of our themed episode and we're going to roll it together with the theme mini.
And rather than do two theme, quote unquote, I just did a finger thing. You can't see that.
No, she put it close to the, so that you could see the quote. It was so funny.
We're playing around with the idea of maybe doing, like, maybe we should do the theme one as a video podcast as well.
Yeah, and, you know, we're also throwing around the idea of maybe starting a Patreon or doing it on YouTube. Something that is a bit different. That way, when you're listening to podcasts, you know what you're expecting. But when we're doing something a bit more fun, we can kind of dress up and...
Yeah, I think maybe we will let you know. But we're thinking maybe just the theme minis as, like, a video one. Because that way, we don't feel obligated. Because I do this in my pajamas. I'm going to be honest. We record this in our house. We don't have a fancy studio. So if our sound quality isn't great, I mean, sorry.
Well, I mean, you can tell because the dogs in the background, like, farting and clicking their toes. Like, obviously, we don't have a sound booth.
Right. I mean, maybe some people bring their animals to... Hey. I mean, hell, that worked for Karen in Georgia.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Elvis. We're just kind of... You know, throwing around some ideas, but I think the idea of having the theme mini once a month, we do a little video podcast,
yeah.
As well as putting it out still on the, you know, network, mm-hmm. I think that would be nice.
And we have ideas for things we might want to do in 2021, but it's still not here, and so there's still a ton of time to focus on what we want to do, what direction we want to go. Our DMs are open on all of our social. You can follow me at BamfingBob on Twitter. Brittany is at BrookNerd528 on Instagram. Also, you know that the Real Romance stuff is all at Real Romance UCPN on Twitter, Real Romance on TikTok and Instagram. We also have a Facebook page, and our email address is realromancepod@gmail.com.
We saw y'all giving some love to the November, like, movie monster one.
Yeah, thank y'all for reaching out. We really appreciate it, and coming up on the holidays, since we won't be hear so much, it's the perfect time for you to give us your input, let us know that you miss us, and that you're looking forward to season 3.
Like I said, we're probably going to put out a little mini with Soul and Wonder Woman. That'll be, you know, maybe the first week or so of January.
Yeah.
It's going to take us a couple weeks to get together our whole, like, awards thing, so it'll probably be end of January, early February when we put out those.
Right, because if you've been listening since last year, you know that it covers the whole year. Now, obviously, 2020 was a bit different than 2019, but we're still going to be covering all the stuff that we watched over the year.
I vote that we add in a best streaming movie
award. A stream section.
Yeah,
right?
We should add a whole... Yeah, because we didn't have TV shows last year in our section. So, yeah, we're going to...
We can jump...
What's it called? Workshop. We're going to workshop that.
Yeah, but in the meantime, please stay safe. Wear your masks. Don't get COVID like me.
It's not that we were being unsafe.
It's just... I go to work every day, and people are out and around, and people have germs, and they don't wash their hands. We have to go shopping. We have to go to the store. We have to go to the bank.
We've been trying to do mostly pickups.
Right,
but
with life going on the way it is, it's impossible to be 100%. And when other people aren't being courteous, it's going to spread regardless.
Let me just give you an example. So we were at a grocery store on the other day, before, obviously, we had any COVID symptoms, and there was a little girl with a Pomeranian in her jacket, and I was less bothered by the Pomeranian puppy in her coat at a grocery store than people that weren't wearing their mask properly, because what's the puppy gonna do to me? It was sitting there being quiet. I don't know. It might have been a service dog. It was in her coat. I don't know if it had a vest on.
Right, but if you're wearing your mask like a chin diaper, then you're not going to solve anything, and you could get me sick. I went to work on Friday. I lost my sense of smell on Saturday. It's very likely that I already had the bug at work. Yes, I wear my mask. Yes, I try to be safe. But I don't know who I may have given it to, nor do I know who I got it from.
Probably someone at work, but who knows?
It's very likely I got it from somebody at work, but there's no way to really know that. And so, like I said, like, going to the movies is fine, but be smart, be safe.
I'm really sad there was a new movie coming out we were going to go to next weekend, but until we get a negative result, we can't go.
Yeah, we got to stay at home. But it gives us time to stay at home and work on the podcast and get things done.
Yeah.
Also, we might make a new logo. Brittany's been working on our art, so we might have a fun new logo for you.
My art is sort of coming along.
I like your art.
I've been drawing a lot of puppies.
Yeah.
Maybe our new logo will be puppies. But who knows? We'll have time together at home, so maybe we'll try to workshop a new logo. And
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what we got.
Right. And hopefully, y'all have an amazing rest of your 2020, well into 2021. And we look forward to speaking to you again.
I hope you like
in the new year.
The longer episode.
Yes.
Just as a little bonus.
Sorry about taking an extra week to get it to you.
Yeah, we took an extra week so we could get healthy, and then we got even sicker.
Yeah, a different kind of sick.
Yeah.
Yay!
Honestly, we were just miserable last week.
Yeah, but this week I'm actually feeling better, except for the not being able to smell dog farts.
My cough is worse now that we have COVID.
Yay!
But...
All right, everybody. It's that time. We love you. We'll miss you. You have a great holiday. And until 2021, keep it real.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Real Romance Podcast, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends.